You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
You ready to talk music?
God, yes.
Let's talk about some music on Clock Radio Speakers.
What a novel idea.
Where do you want to start?
Oh, boy.
You want to start with SNL and Tribe, or you want to end with SNL?
I was going to say, did you check Chappelle on Tribe? Because I think that's a good transition between music and politics, because there's a really political episode of Saturday Night Live, at least the first hour of it was.
I thought Chappelle was pretty good.
He was.
I thought there were some things worked better than others.
Yep.
But that's to be expected.
Saturday Night Live.
Well, it's also, you know, he is such a, there are some people who come on Saturday Night Live and they are clearly such dominating like personalities and forces like creatively that, especially because it's not like he is really of the Saturday Night Live culture. You know, he's not like somebody who like came up in their writing room and
like Chris Rock. Yeah.
Even Chris Rock is like, he's a certainly a force of, like he is a dominant personality, like a force of nature. He's not just going to like slide in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Versus, what was the black guy's name? Tim Meadows. Like he just slid in.
Well, right. Or just, I mean, you know, when Will Ferrell comes back, he's a dominant personality.
Yeah.
Right. But like some people they host and they just kind of like, they get whatever. But I thought Chappelle did good. I got to say there's, you know, I feel like him, Busta and Dre have all decided, like they're, it's part of this, like we're getting older. So we're, every year I get older, my biceps and my pecs get 1 inch bigger. Like they're pretty soon, they're just going to be like triangles.
I feel like they're the guys who go to the gym and only lift dumbbells and then go home. They have boobs and a gut, but then like their arms and their traps are huge.
Now, some of that is because, you know, you get older, like it's hard for old guys to like not have the gut.
Sure, but that's the Timbaland. Remember when Timbaland showed up on the, was it the VMAs or something like that? After he was big on the on Fade to Black.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
But no, I thought he was good. I thought the how'd you feel about the Walking Dead skit?
I thought the ending was really whack.
Mm.
I thought that, and like after Tyrone's head got knocked off and then he just went to like this political speech, it got really stupid really quick. Before then, all that was genius.
I didn't really love the Chris Rock skit where they're having the politics party.
I thought that was hilarious. For the Latinos, toast to the Latinos. You think that was funny?
I don't know.
No, that was funny. I think, what other skit was he in? What'd you think of his monologue?
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I don't know if it was great, but I thought it was good. Those monologues are hard to pull off.
They are. And especially, it felt like given this week, I feel like he had to change some stuff.
Mm.
And like he had to speak to the presidency.
Right.
He had to. So I think that even our confusion with the first hour of this show of just like, where do we go from here? I think it's even confusing for people to have consistent. Pastor hot take is just like, well, like it's a very confusing time for America on several different layers. And I think that showed because his monologue, though good, was very surfacey. Black people do this, white people do this. It's like, that's good, but you know, Chappelle has always been a little more layered than that, though that has often been his bread and butter. He's always had a way of sort of layering his jokes, and the jokes were very much like cut and dry. But I felt like that was because he didn't have enough time, and it is just a confusing time for all of us. So I don't really fault him for that.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting how he sort of did all, like, in a sense, you could have totally seen a world where they just turned it into a giant extended version of Chappelle's show, and he just figured out a way to like every sketch involved one of his old recurring characters.
And I think that's why he had the Walking Dead skit, because I think he was like, he was saying
he wanted to get them all out of the way.
Yep. And he was like, I'm not going to do this again. Because I mean, at the end of the show, he's like, this was a bucket list for me, which means there's a really good chance that we're never going to see those characters played out again.
Cause you know, Clayton Bigsby, as a Trump supporter, you could have done a whole sketch out on that right there.
Bruh, was low-key prophetic.
Right. Like, well, not even that, but just like, that's an easy win.
Yeah.
We don't need to see him as Little John ever again. I'm fine with that.
Right. That was one thing that was really interesting. It was like, oh, hey, Little John. Oh. Like, it was very, as we talk about on the show, he dated himself with that.
Yeah. He kind of went to, the playhead is ball. That was, you know, I appreciated that.
Yeah. I
know.
I can't think of his name. Who passed?
Who passed?
Yeah. Somebody who did play Haters Ball with him died, didn't
he? Oh, really? I don't know.
Yeah. I cannot think of his name. Oh, they're going to, yo.
People are yelling.
People are going to flame me on Twitter tomorrow. That's fine. That's okay. That's cool. Anyway.
So Tribe was the musical guest.
Yeah. So do we want to just get into the Tribe whole, hey, we're doing another album thing? Do we want to talk about that first, or do we want to go SNL?
We could talk SNL real quick. I mean, so how did you feel about their two? So they did Space Program and We the People, right?
Yeah. I mean, my and the reason why I asked if you want to do it, because how I feel about the performance pretty much says how I feel about the album.
Well, then let's talk about the album then.
Okay.
We have a new Tribe album.
We have a new Tribe Called Quest album in the year of our Lord 2016.
Called We Got It From Here. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
So it's been 18 years?
Yeah, Love Movement was 98.
Yep.
So yeah, that's 18 years. Yep. 18 years. 18 years.
Right. It's two discs. But
is it an actual, like, are the physical copies double disc?
I believe they are, because it's actually labeled like disc one and disc two.
Okay. I know Tidal has a label that's side A and side B, so right. I didn't think about them actually putting out two CDs. Okay. Help with sales.
Right. This is labeled as a Tribe Called Quest album.
Uh-huh.
I like to think of this as a Q-Tip and Friends album.
Yes, it is.
Every song is produced by Q-Tip.
Yeah.
And granted, Q-Tip is a legend and played a huge role in Tribe.
Yep.
But you know,
they missed Ali Shaheed.
Who, I think it's some credits on here, but it's not. He's not involved as you might hope he would be.
No, he's not. And you can tell.
Yeah. This is it's a Q-Tip project largely.
It's a Q-Tip project. Yep. I feel like a lot of these Fife records, I mean, Q-Tip and Friends, I feel like a lot of those Fife verses Tip wrote.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
I hear Q-Tip all in Fife's everything. It wasn't that typical Fife, like, but I guess, you know, that could attribute to, well, maybe he was really sick during this time.
He was really sick.
Yeah. Like, was he so sick to where he, you know, couldn't really, you know, get off the way that Fife normally gets off? So I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah.
We get more Jarobi than I think.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Jarobi, he has the first verse on the album, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was him until Saturday Night Live. I was like, oh, Jarobi's rapping.
More Jarobi than, you know, we've heard in a long time. Since 91, yeah. Right?
I mean, I don't think Jarobi rapped. Jarobi, they said, if you watch the Tribe documentary, Jarobi was the spirit of Tribe Called Quest, so... You know, he was the, they were in St. Lunatics. He was the slowdown of the crew.
So this ends up being, you know, it's kind of Q-Tip and Friends. It's kind of like, so rock has a history of this where like you have a famous group and a lot of time has passed, and whether due to an untimely death or the fact that like the two main people are like beefing, you'll have this like slightly reconfigured version of the group. Yep. And yep. They'll like go on tour and do whatever.
Yep.
Or they'll maybe make kind of a new album. And hip hop's a little different than, you know, in this case, because it's not like you have, you know, it's a lot harder. Like, it's a lot harder for someone to step in a hip hop group and be like, okay, I'm going to rap their verses now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what this whole thing feels like. You know, it's Tribe, but it's kind of a Tribe record. It's very much, I've seen people sort of say this feels like a continuation of Q-Tip solo work.
Yep.
Which we should actually talk about the songs here, but that, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
Depends on what Q-Tip. Is it Amplified Q-Tip? Right. No.
Is it Renaissance really, Q-Tip? Yeah.
But people like Renaissance.
I think people fake like Renaissance.
I'm getting there. Okay. I'm getting there.
I think there are four songs I like on this.
It's two for me.
Two. Are they the first two?
Yep.
Yeah. Those are the first. Those are the highlights. This album starts strong.
Yep.
I was really encouraged when I heard Space Program.
Yep.
I love. It's a little long, but like, I love the fact that they have a Willy Wonka sample in the outro.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
I kind of miss weird hip hop.
Mm.
Unusual left sort of, I wasn't expecting that.
Mm.
And I think it's partly because, as a contrast to some of the other albums that we're going to talk about,
mm-hmm.
without spoiling too much, like, I think like Meek Mill, as an example, takes himself very seriously.
Yes, 1,000%.
And we'll talk about them when we talk about Meek. But this is the case where, like, all of a sudden, you're like, it's Tribe Record, actually sounds pretty good, and da-da-da. And then we've got this whole Willy Wonka extended sample at the end, and you're like, huh. And it kind of, like, keeps you off kilter a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
so much of what I loved about hip-hop in the 90s was some of that.
Yeah.
Right? It was... Because, I mean, people... I'm not the first person to point this out. Hip-hop is in many ways the first postmodern form of music where, if you think of what, like, postmodern art is, where you have this idea of like, oh, we're drawing on these influences and it's really a fusion, and it's also like taking things that were sort of a combined thing and sort of breaking them out into elements. And like, hip-hop is very much that way, and the hip-hop we grew up in the 90s is very much this, you know, all these different types of sounds we had was because people were combining things in different ways. And hip-hop has now progressed to a point where, at a technical level, we're capable of more than we've ever been capable of before.
Mm.
And
so does that mean that potentially, because in Tribe's day and even De La Soul, I didn't even talk about going to see De La Soul, Tribe and De La, because they had seemingly less to work with, it made them stretch and use other things that they maybe otherwise wouldn't have if they had more resources.
I think that is really part of it. When you have like the ability to create any sound humanly possible, that's a very different creative starting point than, you know, I grew up on this weird thing and I got it in my head and I want to use it in a song. Someone, you're like, you're pressing and you're forcing and you're working. And it's not even just working with samples. It's like, I'm limited in my capabilities, but I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
We are now unlimited in our capabilities with music, more or less.
Yeah.
At least, certainly, we have much more capability technically than we ever have before. And sometimes that works to great effect. But I think there is in some cases there's a value in sort of like, what can I work with?
Yeah.
And the Space Program reminded me of that.
Yeah.
And I really like We the People.
Yeah.
I think that's a good record.
What are the other two records you like?
I liked Enough.
Okay.
And I liked Ego.
Okay.
There are some cool records.
Yeah. And nothing on this album is really whack.
Well,
it's
The Killing Season is not good. The Donald is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe not whack. I think a good word for it is this is a twofold answer.
Okay.
On the surface, I'm going to say that this album is boring.
There are parts of that I might agree with.
I was bored listening to this album.
Mm.
But much like, I can't think of whose album I said sounds, but I've said this about a few albums. This project was made for touring. They're going to tour the mess out of this project. It's going to sound way better live.
And they're also going to be able to, people will be able to bathe in the nostalgia.
Are we ready to like talk about the synopsis of the album? Because I want to say what I want to say about
before,
this album.
All right, before we do that, can we just acknowledge that for whatever reason, there are two songs on here that have the Bobby Digital noise and it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever?
Well, that's
I'm just trying to listen to Whatever Will Be and all of a sudden it's doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, but that's like if you listen to Q-Tip's Beats One show, that's more of like a Jamaican sound clash dance hall sound.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Because I was about ready to be like, B-O-B.
It's like the dance hall equivalent to a flex bomb and an air horn. Well, no, because they use air horns in reggae too. Gunshots. It's what gunshots are to Who Kid.
Or to Meek Mill, apparently.
Yeah. Oh God. We're getting there. I got hands and feet for Meek for waking me up at 8:15 in the morning at work. Startled.
Anyway. So
yeah.
Aside from the Bobby Digital noises, this record's getting a lot of love.
Yes, it is.
A surprising amount of love.
I don't think it's surprising. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say it now.
Let's do it.
So because nostalgia is in style, the people who like this album are people who like want, I'm not going to say all the people, because I think there are people who genuinely like this album. I'm not talking about them, but a lot of people that I see like this album, it's like, this is like the hype beastie. It's like hype beast. I'm supposed to like this album because it's a new Tribe album. It's new. It's old new. So it's the idea of a new Tribe Called Quest. Again, the idea of something. It's the idea. It's a new Tribe Called Quest album. Fife passed this year. So not only do you have the nostalgia, what does hip hop love more than dead people, than dead rappers? So you get all those factors in. It sounds great. You know, you're on Instagram stories with your Jordan 1s and your distressed denim and your oversized flannels, and you're walking around listening to the new Tribe album. Come on, fam. We know you don't like it as much as you say you do. Or you're telling yourself you like it because you want to fit in. It's a new Tribe Called Quest album. You're supposed to like it. Now, if you like it genuinely, great. More power to you. I'm not faulting you for it. But those of y'all who fake like it, I see you.
They somehow messed up songs that have songs that respectively have verses from Andre and Kendrick.
Can we talk about Andre 3000 for a second?
Okay.
So I think the general consensus for Andre versus is, oh, he killed that.
Yeah, I don't think he killed kids, but
he didn't kill kids.
Okay.
And it made me go back to his verse because I remember, like, dude, so in L.A., this is what was amazing about L.A. When I went to L.A., I told my little sister, I said, yo, all I want to hear when I first get off the plane, I want to hear the G-Funk intro and I want to hear nothing but West Coast music the entire time I'm there. That lasted maybe 4 hours.
Right.
Before, you know, we got 92.3 and Power 106. All they played was, oh my God, YG. L.A. loves YG.
Well, sure.
Sure, right. YG, Drake,
yep.
Kanye,
yep.
Chance, Schoolboy.
Mm.
That's it.
Chance gets a lot of love now.
What's that?
Chance gets a lot of love now.
Chance gets a lot of love. I mean, like, the kids look at me crazy. I'm like, I don't really like Coloring Book, but then, like, what? I mean, No Problem grew on me out there.
Yeah.
So, man, I forgot the point I was going to make.
So out in L.A., all they listen to.
Yeah, but it was something else I was going to say. What did you say before I said that?
Oh, no. you were talking about, you wanted to hear was
Andre G-Funk. Andre killing versus. Oh, and a lot of Travis Scott. Thank you. And a lot of Travis Scott, too. I can't think of the song that he's pushing out next, but it's not Through the Late Night, and I don't know why. But it made me revisit that Andre verse on Travis's album, and it's a good verse. It's a good verse.
I like it.
But I was going to say, when was the last time Andre killed a verse? But I guess we'd have to go to Frank's album, right?
I think he killed that. I mean, it's a novelty record of sorts.
And that, right.
But it's the appropriate length to be a novelty record.
Right. I agree. Like, I just don't want to immediately give Andre the kill it crown every time he opens his mouth and raps. I'm not saying it's whack, but when I say kill it, I think of, you know, we're bringing back Exhibit CO. Kai killed his verse. He blew me away the first time I heard it. I was shocked. My mouth was on the my jaw was on the floor. Like, yo, are you serious? Chance on Ultralight Beam. The first time I heard that verse. Are you serious? My jaw was on the floor. My jaw wasn't on the floor hearing Kids. So I'm not going to say he killed it. My jaw wasn't on the floor on the Travis Scott project. So I'm not going to say he killed it. I was like, yo, the solo record on Frank's album is dope. It was super dope.
It's a moment.
And he's talking about, you know, sounds like he's talking about Drake and like, but what was the last Andre 3000 verse that made you say, yo, that left your jaw on the floor?
I mean,
16? I guess what? Sorry?
I don't know. I mean, I thought like from a tech, see, I think the difference is at a technical level, I think what he does in that Frank Ocean song is crazy.
Sure.
He might not be saying a lot or even like sort of stringing together, like at a linguistic level, sort of doing creative things.
Yeah.
But at a technical level, I think he brings it on that.
So maybe that's my problem.
Yeah. And I hope he doesn't succumb to Busta Rhymesery where like you overcompensate on the technical level.
Yep.
It's white boy rapping syndrome.
Yep.
Where you go, I got to rap as fast as I got to cram as many syllables into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm a word guy.
Yes.
Words mean things. And I don't like to waste words for the sake of, I feel like you can do both. If you can rapidly, like Kai's verse was super rapidly rap. Rapidly rap to the core, but he was saying a lot. His words were weighty. No line was wasted. So verses like that show me that it's possible to, you know, do the G-Eazy Machine Gun Kelly thing, but then still say something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to agree with what you're saying. I don't have, you've been saying it all episode. Tell me a story. Mm. Engage me. Bring me into your world. Give me a tour. And I just, like, I don't know. The running theme for this episode is just going to be, I'll wait to the end, man. Okay. I'll wait to the end.
So this is an okay Tribe record, right? It's okay.
Well, it's too early to tell.
Okay.
If it's the worst out of all of their albums.
It's not off to a good start.
It's not off to a good start. That I agree with.
But the Love Movement is flawed.
It is. But it's also got Find a Way on it.
Right. And we can just be really clear. There's nothing on here touching Find a Way. And I'm not expecting it should be. That was a long time ago.
Agreed.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know. But I'm sure we're in the minority and people love the album and that's great.
So who do you want to talk about next? You want to talk about Common?
I think we should keep the party going. I think we should talk about Meek.
Let's talk about Meek. So this is Dream DC4. It's a quote unquote retail mixtape, debuted at number 3.
Good for him. I don't mean that in a snarky tone. I mean, we talked about it at length on the show. Like, America loves a comeback, and Meek was prime for a comeback considering all that he went through last year.
So is there a single on here?
He put out a lot of videos. I think the single, let me look this up. Where are you? Oh, I guess I didn't upload, or I didn't listen to Meek, because I actually listened to Meek. I saw everything from Liddy being a single, Shine being a single, The Difference being a single, Way Up being a single.
We should point out, on top of this, there's DC 4.5.
That he put out 2 track listings for and wants his fans to determine which version he puts out.
Right. I'm assuming that since this is a quote-unquote retail mixtape, that we're going to get songs he couldn't clear samples for on 4.5.
Right.
Right. So this is, you know, the continuing comeback of Meek Mill, the slow sort of eventual comeback of Meek Mill. What did you think I actually have track-by-track notes on this for some reason.
I'm shocked. Shocked, sir.
When I first heard this, there were some songs in here I was like, you know what? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, it starts off good. I mean, On the Regular is dope.
Well, I got some beefs. Nope. I have beefs with On the Regular.
On the Regular is dope.
You can't use that. You got to use that sample better.
I like the bounce on it. I've heard it. There's so many. I mean, like, okay.
It's not getting
Here's
gross.
The thing. We come from the Dipset era.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, we hold Get 'Em Girl pretty high. So we've heard it used in a sort of way. I haven't heard it used in that way.
That's true.
And that made me like it. And it was very urgent. And
yes,
I think with Meek and his intros, because Dreams and Nightmares intro like became its own thing, he didn't need to outdo it. It's like the Trap or Die intro. The Trap or Die intro on its own was just an event. You don't need to redo it. Just keep making moments, you know? And it felt like this was an urgent moment. Is it going to be a great moment like Dreams and Nightmares? Probably not. But I liked it a lot. It's one of the records that I go to consistently when I play this project.
I actually like Blessed Up.
I don't like the drums on Blessed Up.
Okay, so this is Street Runner. So you get the blend of the breakbeat with the more modern, which is, that's a very Street Runner thing to do.
Yeah.
I like this song because I think Meek is able to be energetic on here without yelling, which is hard for him.
Yeah.
The one thing that's interesting, this is not a new thing, but this is a good, like, we've entered this era of hooks where they're all trying to be hashtags.
Yep.
And Blessed Up, I heard it and I was like, oh, that's a hashtag hook.
Yep. Hashtag hooks. Yep. Add it to the board.
There's a couple of hashtag hooks on here.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the first 3 tracks are.
Liddy definitely is.
Yeah, it's Liddy again? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I hate the word Liddy so much, but that's because I'm old.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
I know
that's
I'm
all.
Old.
We just, listen.
Tory's hook is, well, it's 2016. You can take that or leave it.
Listen. Tory's rapping about his receding hairline. Like, I don't... keep your insecurities out of this, bro.
Maybe it's because I was listening to Trap or Die 3, but I really feel like this beat kind of sounds a little like 2005 Jeezy to me.
Which one?
Liddy. Like the synths?
Yeah, it sounded a little... Well, it sounded more Trap or Die 2 to me.
Maybe. It's a dramatic Jeezy-style synth.
Yeah, or Can't Ban the Snowman. Like, we're
right.
going to get deep.
Yeah. You know, when you've got Meek and Tory Lanez on a record, you're going to get shots at Drake.
Yep.
Not surprised.
Yep. You know what, though? And it just reminded me. I really, really like Lord Knows.
Mm.
Meek's version, Meek and Tory. Like, we know how I feel about Drake's Lord Knows.
Right.
But, like, man, why did he, like, he really messed that album up. Like, he really threw pie in his own face. Like, he had records on that album that were, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Shine is a good song in terms of sequencing, but not actually a good song.
It's okay.
Yeah, like if you're going to slot that song, it's like the perfect time to slot it.
Yeah.
But I just don't really like it.
Yeah. I don't mind it. It's cool.
Lil Uzi's hook on Froze is just...
Froze is terrible. Listen.
I don't mind the beat. I like Sonny Digital on the beat. I don't mind the beat at all. But that hook is... Oh, God.
Mm-mm. Nope. I'm good off of that. I'm good off Nicki's verse. Like, I'm good on Froze.
Basically, unless you're Pharrell Williams, I don't want to hear you singing about being a rock star. Ever.
Well, that's I guess that's Uzi's whole gimmick is that he's like a young... Listen, I survived the Party Like a Rock Star era. And I hope and prayed to God that I would never have to go back there again. Don't bring me back. Just because you wear skinny jeans and the Rolling Stone Aerosmith cowboy boots with the little chains on them doesn't make you a rock star, bro.
And yet, the number one song in the country right now is Black Beatles.
Yo, listen, it's not just the internet anymore. It's not just Twitter. When you were able to market your song based off of a challenge that everybody can do.
Yeah.
Gets all the way to the point where Paul McCartney himself does his own mannequin challenge.
Right.
And they have to play your song in order to do the challenge correctly?
Yep.
You're out of here.
Yep.
2016, y'all.
And if I remember correctly, I mean, I know I'm not trying to be too Clostradamus on here. When we talked about that Ray Schremmert album, I think we both pointed out that was a dope record for them. That was the direction for them.
We said it was the next single. I'm pretty sure we did.
But we also, I think we just pointed out, like, that's where they need to go.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I don't think we were crazy about it. Like, I don't think I was crazy about it. I'm still not crazy about it.
I like this. I like the song first time I heard it. I think it's a different kind of a song. I think the melody is almost 80s, like 80s rock in a way.
Yeah. Very Sting and the Police. Yeah. It's like you can take that beat out and put something completely different in it and it'll work.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. It's a good, I mean, I like the record. I think that's sort of the direction. Because people kind of knocked that Ray Schremmert album initially. And
yeah,
it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But melody is so hard to do.
Yep.
And they got it.
They got it.
They get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Especially, oh man, I can't think of, what's his name?
I can't think of his name either. I was just trying to think of
it. Oh, Sway.
I know. Sway, yeah. Sway's out of here.
Yep.
Sway is out of here. Jimmy better hold on for dear life.
He's about to get kicked through the barbershop glass.
He is Marty Jannetty.
Oh, it's so obvious, too. Like, they really are Sean and Marty. Like, it's...
Yep.
Oh, man.
That's it. You want to talk about the difference?
Another hashtag hook.
Yep. There go the difference.
This is Quavo and Designer is secretly on this as well.
Right. They didn't give
but because it's Quavo Designer and produced by Sony Digital, I'm trying to figure out how much of this was like chilling in the Good Music Archives and how much is actually.
You already know. Right. You already know this was sitting somewhere.
Because Sony Digital has done a ton of work for Good Music.
Yeah.
You're trying to tell me like Quavo and Designer just happened to both be. Come on.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Meek was just kind of called to write some Good Music stuff.
It's possible.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm not prepared to hear Kanye yell Meek Millery.
Nah, I mean, we heard. when what happened when Meek wrote for Puff, how bad that was.
True.
I mean, remember what was it? I Want the Love.
Oh man.
Oh, that record was bad. Also.
Yeah.
I mean, we not gonna sit up here in front like Nicki's bars haven't taken a dive post Safari.
Mm. Have you heard? I didn't even hear Black Barbie.
I did.
And?
I mean, it's a Nicki freestyle. It's, you know.
What's it over?
Black Beatles.
Oh, it is. Okay. That makes sense.
Throwing Black Beatles. Yeah. It's just like when she rapped over Young Ma. It was just like Nicki has always been. Nicki's like old Kanye, where like when she's on like, oh, wow, she's on. So we always reference Monster, right? Mm-hmm. That's Nicki on pins and needles. She's on 100%.
That's Nicki with Kanye and all those people pushing her in the studio,
yep.
Working for days, like getting that. Yep. Yeah.
Getting that verse right. I'm sure she rewrote that verse. Her right. And Safari rewrote that verse a good 4 or 5 times. I wouldn't be surprised. But now you've got. But a large part of Nicki's verses are, you know, nice little wordplay. Her flow's always good, but she's always got really bad lines. Lest we not forget Duct Tape. She'll have just really corny bars, like just scattered throughout. And those corny bars have intensified. I think her Down in the DMs verse might be the best thing she's done post Safari. But even that was still like really, really vulgar. And that might have been why she got away with it, because she's Nicki Minaj and she's like, she is sex.
Right.
So that might have been why. But I don't know, Meek. But I'm sure this is a record that he had from somebody. He just finished the record like, I'll just keep this for myself.
This Lights Out record is nothing crazy.
No.
How do you feel about Blue Notes?
Oh, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take Lights Out. I don't mind Don Q. I'm hearing a couple records, look, verses from him here and there. And I believe I heard a mixtape from him. Like I skimmed it and there was a track or two that was all right. Like, oh, okay. So he's part of that New York Renaissance, Davies, Young Ma, A Boogie, and him. Those are the four names that immediately come to mind.
I'm not even trying to pander because you're obviously the co-host of the show. But how is it that all those dudes on that Exhibit CO freestyle wrap circles around these new New York people? What has happened to New York City? Am I missing all the dope New York rappers?
I think people rapped on that record better than a lot of people. Just New York.
No, I know, but I'm saying like, am I missing something? Is there like just a secret like group of like New York rappers who aren't really doing it right now?
I mean, my question is how does Troy Ave feel about all this?
Who?
Exactly. Troy Ave was running around screaming New York and doing all that stuff and, you know, burned a couple bridges, made some really big mistakes. And
now he's on the official Clock Radio Speakers milk carton.
I don't even want to put him on a milk carton. I'm going to put him on like a water bottle or something.
No, I mean like who? Like, have you seen this?
Yeah,
man?
No. I mean, like, he's not even worth the milk carton. He's not even worth. Just put him on some cheap plastic and sell him for 69 cents. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just under the theory, you know, we'll use Davies as an example. I said this before, like Davies, again, like it's the appearance. And this is what a lot of people are, what people are calling lyricism nowadays. It's putting on the appearance that you can rap. You know, there's an idea of what MCs sound like. But when you get down to the words, they're not really saying anything. And I think that's an important part of MCing. You're the master of ceremony. Imagine I feel like rappers and preachers and pastors are like one and the same. So imagine if you got a pastor, your typical Southern Baptist pastor who's hooping and hollering, and he's sweating and the organ's playing, but it's like, what is he talking about? And then you look around, you see all these people jumping up and dancing and screaming hallelujah. And you're like, what, where, what is this? I feel like that's what most MCing is in 2016. And I feel like that's what. Though I won't slander Young M.A. because she's got another record that I like. I like the Summertime something. It's got the breakbeat with the Mary J. Blige sample. You heard that?
Oh, yeah. I think one of Superstar J's dudes did that, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm just a sucker for like obvious 90s samples. I think that's what it is.
Oh, no.
But hey. I don't know, man.
All right. How do you feel about Blue Notes?
I don't. I think this record is really, really not good.
I like the sample.
I hate the sample.
I think it's an interesting turn for Meek, but then he goes ahead and yells on it. So, you know.
Exactly.
Like, I'm like, okay, this is different. Because, like I said, like, I feel like all these Meek records, like, he's got, like, three types of records he makes. And they're also, like, self-serious.
Yeah.
There's no, like, hint of, like, weird personality or quirk. There's, like, no nothing with him. Not, like, a sense of humor or anything with him. So this song starts, I'm like, huh. But then he just starts yelling.
I'm just imagining, like Meek never being funny.
But like we're gonna talk about Jeezy in a bit. Like, Jeezy makes serious songs, but Jeezy also has like a little bit of sense of humor to him sometimes.
Yeah, like, there was a point where Jeezy was really in on the joke.
Right. Meek doesn't. He's never in on the joke.
Ever.
And he's gonna glare at you for suggesting that there's a joke.
Seriously, like listen. I don't know. Did you listen to? I'm sure you didn't. Did you listen to his interview with Tax Stone?
No.
Listen, man. There's no way in the world I'm listening to a rapper try to convince himself that he's real and authentic and he's a man. But basically, like, passive aggressively talking about everything and never directly saying anything. That's what it was like. You could tell that, like, everything that happened with Drake, like, hurt that man's soul. And I don't know, man. I think that showing like a human side to you, some sort of humanity, like, goes a long way.
Yeah.
But it takes a level of vulnerability to do that, to laugh at yourself. And
even,
I feel like
it can even be like manufactured vulnerability. Like, Meek doesn't really even have that.
It could be fake, like some other rappers for Jesus that we've talked about on the show. That's a shot.
Some of y'all.
Oh yeah. No. Not over here. Not on Clock Radio speakers. But but he's not going to be that vulnerable.
No.
Because he's so concerned with his image.
Yeah.
He's so concerned with being tough guy Meek. Laugh.
Something.
Laugh. It's why
every time he tries to make his stereotypical chick record, they always come off as being terrible.
Really bad. Because you kind of have to be, we talked about this, I think on like the Marcus Grant, you kind of got to be a nerd to like, you're going to be a little corny around your girl. It just is what it is. You're just going to be corny. You're going to take the selfies and you're going to like, you're going to do the girl stuff. Like, it's your girl. Whatever. I guess. Let's move on.
I'm so old. I'm just going to say it. I'm so old because every time I hear 21 Savage in a record, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, nah. All them dudes. What record is 21 Savage on?
Offended. Him and Thugger.
Oh, nah, I'm good. you see, Drake's pushing the 21 Savage record.
He is.
He's
pulling a Kanye. He had to get some youngin.
1,000%. You see it. I mean, but he's been doing that since The Weeknd.
Artists have been doing that for a very long time.
Right.
This is nothing new.
1,000%.
Right. I mean, what you think Puff signed Mace because he wanted to help him out?
1,000%.
Okay. Let's just be really clear.
Yeah.
This isn't a Drake problem.
Yep.
All right. I actually like the beat on Offended, but the rest of it, nah. You Know is totally skippable.
Yep.
Way Up, no.
Way Up is hard.
I like the beat.
Way Up is hard. This might be my favorite record on the album.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know why I like Tracy T.
No, I don't really like Tracy T. But I have no idea
why I like him.
I like the beat on Way Up, but that's about it.
Nah. Way Up is hard. Way Up is super.
Speaking of songs that are way too serious, Two Wrongs. My God.
Nope.
So overwrought.
Nope. I'm good.
Tony Story 3?
I ain't even heard the first two. I ain't gonna lie. I don't want to hear Meek like do a... I don't know if I want to hear Meek tell a story. As you know, that has been the theme of this episode. Tell me a story. I don't know if I want Meek to tell me a bedtime story.
This ends with him promising that Tony Story 4 will be a movie. Like, literally a movie. I'm like, oh, God. Well,
oh, God. So what have you been doing for... Okay, never mind.
I hear you. And then the outro with Lil Snoop in French. I would describe this song as frantic. It's like they took a typically sort of constructed 60 BPMs beat and then accidentally, like, turned the knob up a little too many BPMs. So it sounds a little crazy.
Yeah, so... I first want to say that Lil Snoop's part on here is hard.
Yeah.
I really like Snoop's flow on there. But then when it turns into like he samples the Dreams and Nightmares intro and tries to like do that again, right. That's when it gets okay. Right. Okay. Just nah, but
okay. Overall,
where are we? Where are we with Meek?
Meek is Meek. He's consistent.
Yeah.
But there is, and I know that this is a quote unquote retail mixtape. So it's not, you know, it's not quite the same as like a regular album, although is there really a difference now?
No.
But no, this sounds like a Meek Mill album. There's a handful of songs that stick out. There's a lot of songs that sound cool, okay. And there's a handful where you're like, nope. I mean, that's the story with, for the most part, it's the story of Meek Mill.
It's the story of hip hop in 2016.
I don't know if that's fair.
What wasn't besides Pablo?
That's what I.
And for many people, Chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I look for songs that just make me want to come back to it and go, oh. And there are still albums that I find that on. Not a ton, not a lot, but there's still albums that I find that on. So I'm still okay.
Okay. But you're right. I'm happy for you.
As a whole, there are a lot of flawed projects this year.
Yes,
a ton of flawed projects. But yeah, this Meek is.
Well, okay. So here's the question about Meek. We probably need to move on. So we have like 10 other projects we need to talk about. So does this redeem him of, you know, everything that he experienced in the last year? Like, is he back in people's good graces? Is he back in your good graces?
I don't know how much of my graces he was ever really in. Mm. I just wanted to make good music. That would be a start.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Like, I think this is a record for Meek Mill fans.
Yeah.
And that takes all shapes and sizes. It might be like, you're like, yeah, I love the Dream Chaser series. It might be, you know, I just want some stuff to put on when I'm at the gym. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's called, I mean, it's in the Dream Chasers series for a reason, right? Everybody takes the fabulous approach now, where you have different branded like lanes for sort of various segments of fans. I mean, you did it with Snooze Button.
Yeah.
That was for a certain segment of the population.
True. Don't put this back on me.
I'm just saying, I think this is for people who want to hear, who like Dream Chasers 1-3. This is for them.
Sure. And I think it was, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I think for them, I'm guessing it's largely a success.
Yeah. I've heard mostly positive things from people who were rooting on Meek to win. And I think this was Meek's most important voice, was just shut up and rap. Don't tweet about it. We don't want to see no Instagram posts with your diamonds and all your money and all that stuff. Just rap. Just make good music. You were right there when Dreams Worth More Than Money was out. You were right there. And had you kept your mouth closed, Meek would be in a completely different light in 2016. Hmm. Completely different. And he's essentially got to start all over. And there may be realms and rungs that he never reaches.
I think that always happens in hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much like, you know, sort of like sports to a certain degree. Not everybody gets to where you think they can go.
Yeah. True.
Okay.
What's next?
We've got Jeezy. We've got Common. Where do you want to go?
Jesus.
Let's go, Jeezy.
I was just about to say, let's go, Jeezy.
Let's go, Jeezy.
All right, this will be quick.
I was pleasantly surprised by Trap or Die 3.
Okay.
Shody Red.
Okay.
In the Air. I love In the Air.
Okay. just letting you get all your bars off.
Where It At is great. Bout That is great. You Know It is great. There's a whole bunch of records that are cool, and there are a handful of records that are just kind of embarrassing, such as Sexy.
Well, all of Jeezy's girl records are never good.
That's true. Like That isn't very good. All There is not good. But there are times where I'm like, okay, for better or for worse, Jeezy has decided to be the character of Jeezy.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I know Jeezy can do other things, but calling this Trap or Die 3 is actually, I think, a misnomer. This is closer to a TM-104 than anything else. Was there a TM-104?
Nah.
Because it sounds closer to 102 or 103 than it does to what the Trap or Die sound, to me.
Yeah.
How do you clearly are not a fan of this.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what this project made me do.
Yep.
It made me, Like when the first time I heard it, I was like, yo, this like, yo, I was like you. I was like, oh, okay. Because the last few Jeezy projects haven't been it.
No, Church in These Streets was not very good.
Church in These Streets was, and then what was the, what was
Seen
the
It
other
All.
One? Seen It All was, people like Seen It All. I thought Seen It All was not good, except Beautiful. Beautiful was super dope. But I mean, you can't go wrong with a, with Ross and Game over a, who's that group?
I know what's the name of that group?
Yeah, them. Yeah. You sampled them.
Cortex. Is it Cortex?
Yeah, Cortex. Yep. Can't go wrong with a Cortex sample. Impossible to go wrong.
Right. Ross and Cortex. Like, yeah, if I were Black Metaphor, I would just sit there and do nothing but Cortex beats for Game. Just do a whole EP.
Yep. Anyway. Yep. Give me that all day. I'm happy. So much like you, the first time I heard it, I was pleasantly surprised. I just let it run and I was like, yo, this is dope. This is what I want to hear from Jeezy. And then I stopped and then I heard it again. And I said, what do I want to hear from Jeezy in 2016? Mm. Do I want to hear Jeezy in 2016?
Mm.
Is the more important question. And the answer is no.
Mm.
I'm all for artists growing and maturing and expanding to different things. And I believe that, you know, like Jay-Z said, if you want to hear somebody's old stuff, then you buy their old albums. And I think it's just one of those things. We talked about this at length, you and I, just getting older. And I don't know if I want to sit down and listen to a whole project from somebody in their mid to late 30s talking about selling drugs and misogyny and killing people and all that stuff. It's just like,
I hear that.
So it's not that it's bad. It's probably just not something that I want to hear at this stage of my life.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
So, to me, I
don't. Go ahead.
I almost feel like he's sort of purposely like playing the role of Jeezy.
Oh, 1,000%. I agree with you.
Not that it's anywhere near as good, but it's not that dissimilar to me than sort of Jay on American Gangster.
Except American Gangster was amazing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, he's purposely sort of playing the part.
Sure, sure.
And this should be shorter.
Yes.
I mean, you get towards the end, you're like, oh, it's the Chris Brown song, which actually, once you get past the terrible intro, isn't bad. But yeah, what's amazing to me is, do you know that this was the number one album in the country?
Yeah, I did see that.
I'm like, what? Huh? Trapper Die 3? Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for Shorty Red.
Yeah. Yeah. Considering all he went through a few years ago, like it was assumed to be over for him essentially. So, you know, yeah, good for him.
One thing I appreciated from this is that there were a handful of records here where I was like, oh, you know what? That's a different melody. Because I feel like a lot of these hard trap records end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I think the best songs on here do one of two things. They either purposely call back to that sort of mid-2000s Jeezy type melody. And Shuddy Red does that, I think, to decent effect here. But I think records like Where It At and Bout That specifically do just kind of different things with their melody enough where that kind of like sticks at you. You're like, oh, okay. I'm not just going to get like, you know, the same, like, honestly, like I feel like a lot of people are just doing the Meek Mill sound.
What largely was birthed out of, again, Lex Luger.
Well, right. It's all just like, we're all just iterating off that and like going down that rabbit hole. So like when I, you know, maybe this is diminished expectations, but it's like, oh, look, like here's like, it's the trap record, but like it's a different kind of it's a slight variation, and it works because Jeezy can do that. So
yeah,
that stuck out to me. I was like, yeah, I'm cool with this. I had no expectations for this, none.
Yeah, agree.
So I think that helps as well. And
yeah, that's
considering the next project is called Snow Season, I think you know where he's going.
You know where he's going. I didn't realize a lot of people didn't like what was that, Pastor Young or whatever. Like they want this from him.
They do. Yeah, they didn't want, yeah, they did not want the Church in These Streets Jeezy.
Yeah.
Which came out just only a year ago, which seems amazing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that was a 19 song project.
What, Church in These Streets?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody, and I forgot to say this about the Tribe album. Like somebody gotta tell Q-Tip no, and somebody gotta tell some of these people like no.
Right, right. Okay, so before we get to the Common album, real quick, I want to plug Tina Shea. So she was supposed to have the album called Joyride, which has, which had that single that she had this summer, which I can't think of right now for some reason.
I think it was called Joyride, right?
Now you can make me. Oh, Super Love, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
yeah. Super Love, which is a Terrius record through and through. Tricky in the Dream, and it did okay. It sounds like a '90s record, and it was supposed to be for this album called Joyride, which
Joyride, yeah.
Apparently is not coming out right now.
Yeah, from what I hear.
So instead, we're gonna get Nightride, which is it's basically like this is the equivalent of like what used to just be like an album, like or a mixtape that gets put out because your label won't put out your album.
Yeah.
But in this era, it just goes right to it just ends up on iTunes anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Handful of records on here that I like. The Metro Boomin record, Sacrifices, I like. But specifically, I want to call out Company, produced by Terrius Nash, written by Terrius Nash. It's a Terrius Nash record through and through. I think it sounds incredible. Yeah.
Do we miss Terrius?
I do. I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
let's bring him back.
But that's in the same vein as Jeezy, right?
Right. Except, see, it's funny, like, for music, we're okay with, you know, if you sang about like love that's gone wrong when you're 19, you can still sing that song when you're 45, and you can sing that song when you're 75. And that's how other genres have artists with longevity. Even if they change up, they can still go do their old stuff. Hip hop has a problem though, because if you're rapping about the come up when you're 19, sounds kind of weird when you're 26 and you've made it. Sounds really weird when you're 46. But for The Dream, I mean, I think the things that he generally writes about in his songs are mostly, they're universal. Like, The Dream can sing about being a dirtbag forever.
You know what? I'm going to say this about The Dream versus, because we talked about dirtbag R&B with The Weeknd.
And he's not The Weeknd. That's a different kind of dirtbag R&B. No, I don't mean that. I mean more like...
Terrius is more like a relatable dirtbag. He's like, I remember being that way 10 years ago.
Right.
In my 20s, yeah. Right. Yep. I definitely loved your girl when I was 22.
Right.
But The Weeknd is just like, hey, like, wait, hold on. I didn't take it easy. Slow down. You okay?
Right. I think there's just a drugginess aspect to The Weeknd stuff that you don't hear with The Dream.
100%.
Okay. 100%. But yeah, I like Tina Shay. I feel like she just hasn't hit in the right way. Like, I know her first album did well, but I feel like she should be doing a lot better.
She's sneaky dope.
She should be way bigger, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's sneaky dope.
Yeah. I haven't figured it out yet. And I think they, you know, they were like, look, you know, she can sing. She looks good. She has good. She can write songs. We get in the studio. Like, they really, I think they saw Super Love was going to be out of here. And I liked it, but it just didn't really like catch on with people like that.
Didn't hit. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's something. That's the thing that sucks about a lot of R&B, especially from women, is like, now you need something else.
Like, because what more could you ask from her?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, well, normally 10 years ago, all of that would have worked. Because you had Ashanti, you had A. Marie, you had all these chicks who were really pretty. They had like good records. And again, there's that other factor where girls want to be them and guys want to sleep with them. But now that's like everybody. So now what are you doing to differentiate yourself? And people are going to extreme measures to do that, unfortunately. But then some people, there's just an X factor. And I don't know what it is about her. I agree. Like, she's dope. I remember we reviewed her last album, and her last album was sneaky good.
Right. I think she just hasn't had like the smashes yet.
And I hope that we give her enough time, because from what I hear, like, I haven't heard this project yet, but her album was good enough for me to give her another chance. Like, it was dope.
Yeah.
It's actually really dope. Yeah. But I don't know. When I saw that, I was like, oh, new Tina Shay project. When I should have been like, oh, snap, her last album was dope. I need to check this out.
Right.
So I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure. But I hope she does well. I hope something does hit for her.
So let's end. I think we're ending with Common.
Yep.
So what I didn't like, I always like to do this. I like to listen to the album before I know who made it, like who produced and who helped on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to see if I can guess. And my ears led me astray here.
Mm.
Because there are I would not have known that this is all Kareem Riggins and Robert Glasper.
I heard Glasper from jump. But Kareem Riggins, absolutely not.
There are I would not have guessed that Riggins did Love Star and Red Wine.
I see that.
Love Star to me sounds kind of like a fake Pharrell record.
It's not good.
Well, that too. Which is why I was concerned, because I heard it and I'm hearing like the little elements. I'm like, please tell me Pharrell Williams had nothing to do with this.
No, that was not. That wasn't Pharrell at all.
No, but there are elements to that in Red Wine where I'm hearing different things. I'm like, But there are a couple records on here that are great.
Okay.
Black America Again is unbelievably good.
Yeah.
That record is hard.
Is it? Okay. I'm going to be...
Content aside.
I was going to say, well, content, because Common's not rapping very good on this album.
That's interesting.
Well, let me say this.
Okay.
Common from 1997 till... When did...
Finding Forever.
What Finding Forever come out? Was that 2006?
Yeah.
He's top five for me from that period.
Mm.
Common is responsible for some very important moments in my life. When I found out I was going to have a child, the first place I went to was Retrospect for Life. When I was depressed and suicidal, that was when B came out. So that's all I was listening to. You know what I'm saying? I remember going to go get, skipping class to go get, Water for Chocolate with my boy Alex. And then a week later, he flipped his car and almost died. So there's just points of Common's career where it's like he was that guy for me. So I hold him in a very, very high regard. I feel like the last few albums of his career have just been kind of overshadowed by other stuff, primarily the acting stuff. We talked about how sneaky good The Dream of the Believer was.
I was just going to say, Dream of the Believer is actually, it's got some records.
It was sneaky good. I think the Drake beef really didn't help him out at all.
It starts off really strong.
Yes, it does. Blue Sky's crazy dope.
Ghetto Dreams is unreal.
Ghetto Dreams is crazy.
Sweet is pretty good.
Sweet is dope, but he's, again, he's passive aggressively dissing Drake.
Right.
And it's really hard for me to forgive him for calling Drake Canada Dry, which is really bad.
He always has to have the one John Legend record.
Listen, man, okay. I feel like I've been complaining a lot this episode.
And here's the thing. Have you seen the documentary 13
on
Netflix?
I haven't.
Okay. Rain is, Rain? One of these records at the end is from that documentary. It was also in the documentary. And I feel like him and John Legend just make every time they make a song, it sounds like it's playing at the closing trailers, the closing credits for a movie.
For every slave movie that's been out for the last 5 years, I'll say it. Again, John Legend, he just sounds like he's been picking cotton all day. I can say it. It's okay.
Remember when John Legend used to make fun music?
Yes! Yes!
I think he takes himself a little too seriously.
He does. He does. I mean, you get a supermodel chick, you know what I'm saying? That's the funny part is that she's goofy. She's really silly. Her persona is really silly.
And
now he's like,
right.
What was that? Oh, what was that song on Big Sean's album? Like, Me and You Can Change the World or something like that?
Yeah. We Could Change the World or whatever it was.
Somebody got to break John Legend's fingers so he can't play piano.
No, that's the song. See, that song is for every kid who has to try to sneak in a Big Sean album and can play it for the mom. Be like, see, this is good music, mom.
My mom would be like, man, if you don't turn.
There's nothing offensive in this song.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Then play the Juicy J record.
Right, then play I Don't F With You.
Right. We talk about them Big Sean records either.
Yeah.
We'll do it later.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Remember She
just,
Don't Have to Know?
I was going to say, come on, man. Remember Again and then Another Again? Remember when John Legend was a creep? He's a dirtbag?
But he sounded so good.
So dope. Come on, man. Used to love you. Get lifted. Who needs the weed, man?
Who needs the weed? So hot. Listen, he could hook himself back up to the good music, rejuvenation machine as long as I don't have to hear him and Travis Scott on a record together.
Oh, my God. God, no. No.
Him and Quavo.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going through. Yo, once again with Sneaky Dope, we always talk about Get Lifted.
What's
his first album was dope. That Save Room, Each Day Gets Better, P PDA.
What record do I
Maxine, get? Where did my baby go? Like, nah. I might have to let this run when the show's over.
I mean, it's good, but it's no Get Lifted.
It's no Get Lifted, but it's it.
Oh, we didn't even have to talk. Oh, man. We didn't even talk about Ordinary People.
Exactly.
Or Number One.
Oh, God.
Number One is great.
Okay, I thought you were going to talk about the other song that you tried to get me to do.
No.
We will not mention on air.
Stay With You.
Yep. She don't have to know Number One. Oh, man. Yeah, Number One. Yeah, Stay With... Come on, man.
Even It Don't Have to Change.
It Don't Have to Change. Yep.
Man.
Yep. And then, of course, Live at the Knitting Factory. Classic. Mm-hmm. Classic. Mm-hmm. Classic. Mm-hmm. Classic. His rendition of X Factor.
That's John Stevens to you.
That's John Stevens, boy. That is John flipping Stevens.
So let me talk about what else I like on Common's album real quick.
Okay.
I wanted to love Pyramids.
Yeah, that's the record that people seem to like. And I'm like, there's better songs on this album.
The keys are really dope, but the drums don't fit at all. And it doesn't work.
I think that's why people like it, because of the drums.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But you know what really works on here? It's Unfamiliar.
You know, I don't like the middle of this album.
Unfamiliar is really good.
I think it starts well and it ends well. From Love Star to... I don't like any of the Sid records. Probably from Love Star to a Bigger Picture Called Free, I'm good.
I think Unfamiliar is the other really good song in here. And after that, I'm like, The Day the Woman Took Over, I was like, nope.
It's the Panda record. The beat is dope, but it's the Panda.
I do like the beat. But it's a Panda. It's like something that you would do in creative writing class as like a prompt.
Yes.
I don't want to hear creative writing songs.
Right. I really like Letter to the Free. That beat is crazy.
It's cool. Yeah, there's a lot of cool songs on here, but
yeah, Lil Chicago Boy is a little too dramatic for me.
A little bit. But yeah, I mean, I really like Unfamiliar and Black America Again. And Joy and Peace is cool, too. Like, I like how it starts.
Did you hear the Black America Again remix with Pusha T and Gucci Mane?
I haven't, but I need to.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see, like, did they keep that beat for Gucci? I need to know.
I mean, Gucci Mane's on Black Beatles as well. He's everywhere.
Yeah, man, Boosie could take a note or two from him, unfortunately. And I don't say that in a condescending way. Like, I wish, like, people fake supported Boosie. Like, that just became its own thing. But then people really actually supported Gucci. He did everything right. And, you know, he hadn't missed a beat.
Okay. So overall, Common, what do we think?
It's all right.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's cool, but there's records I like. So I'm good.
Yeah. It's all right.
All right. What do we miss?
I mean, we missed a lot. Like, we still haven't talked Joe Budden's album.
Right.
We still haven't talked Sho Baraka's album.
We didn't talk about this Childish Gambino album. I mean, that song.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Childish single. Yep.
Me and Your Mama.
Yep.
He's Going Left.
He's Stank On You In and Out.
Only heard it once.
Album comes out December 2nd.
I like what I hear.
Yeah, record's dope. See, here's the thing about Childish. Childish, again, he's sneaky dope. Like,
yeah,
he's one of those guys where, like, men can't really, like, really fan out for him. I don't know why.
I feel like, in a weird way, Chance kind of took his lane as a rapper and was like, nope, I got it. So now he's got to do something different. And to his credit, he's not going to out-Chance Chance.
Yep. Because I could totally see Chance doing, what was that record? What was that album? The last album?
Oh, yeah.
It had 3005. Yeah, that was all, like, pre-Chance.
Right.
3005 is a Chance the Rapper record. Chance the Record Rapper. I could totally see Chance doing something like that. So you're right. Great point. I agree.
Okay.
I agree. But yeah, I'm very interested in this. I'm not gonna say that. Never mind. I'm not gonna say that on there. I'm chill. But I'm looking forward to this album. December 2nd. I'm looking forward to it. He's very successful with Atlanta. Atlanta was a really good show. I don't think it's as funny as other people think it is, but it's like, it's a really good show. It's well written. And that keeps my attention more than the jokes, which I appreciate.
Mm.
But yeah. So we'll see December 2nd. Your man Bruno drops on Friday.
Mm.
Heard the streets already got it.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking about that.
The streets really fiending for that Bruno Mars? Did he just go ahead and totally make More Stay in the Time album, or is it
Probably. Probably. Yeah. When I was in LA, I walked past somewhere in Beverly Hills where Morris Day was performing at. Like, you would perform 2 weeks after I leave. That's fine.
we didn't talk about the OT Genesis mixtape.
Who?
Right. Poor OT Genesis.
Well, I mean, he's got two hit records. At least he followed up Coco with Cut It.
Mm-hmm.
Cut It was a big record.
Wasn't as big as Coco, but yeah.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Yes, it was.
What? No.
I don't know about that one, bro. Bruh.
What else did we miss? Zooming through here, see if we missed anything big.
You want to hear Rick Ross rap over Cranes in the Sky?
Who?
Ross. Ross put out a rec. Ross put out a single too.
Yeah, he's just not sticking with him right now.
Nothing sticking with him, unfortunately. You know, Ross is one of my favorites, but yeah, it's we missed the new we missed French just drop Mac and Cheese 4 as a mixtape.
A reconfigured Mac and Cheese 4? But there's no new song. Yeah, he changed up the track listing.
What?
Like he resequenced it.
What?
Yeah, cuz I went back and compared it, cuz of course I still have my notes. So hold up.
What do you do? Where are your notes at from like 2013?
They're
you
all. Still got them? I have everything.
Jesus.
I know. Yeah. So we'll do side by side comparison. Hold up. So yeah, like right off top, like no, Play Yourself, No Shopping. That's the same two times every time. Maybe not. I thought he switched some things up. Maybe I was wrong. No, never mind.
We didn't talk about the Alicia Keys album.
We did not. I listened to it once, but I got to One Love. And I was like, nope, see you later. Goodbye.
Man.
Because that is a good example of an idea that when you play that live, sounds great.
Uh-huh.
But then when you hear it as a studio version, I'm just sitting there like, no, 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 stop it.
Here's the funniest thing I noticed about her album. So the first song is a record called The Gospel,
mm-hmm.
where she samples Wu-Tang's St. Ives commercial, which is absolute genius.
Yeah, that was cool.
One of my favorite Wu-Tang B-side records. But you can't tell me that she didn't write that with Swiss.
Well, Swiss has co-credits on The Gospel, Pawn It All, One Love, Illusion of Bliss. Is that it? Yeah. Mark Batson has a lot of work on this album.
Okay.
Alangelo actually helped produce Holy War.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
He's done a bunch of stuff for The Weeknd.
Okay.
Pharrell's on work on it. But yeah, this all the first half of this is a lot of Swiss beats. A
lot of Swissery. Right. I feel like she did the first half of the album surrounded by, you know, the Swiss beats like playset.
Right.
I need a picture of that. If somebody can like screenshot her performance from the BET Awards, whatever that was. Where she was surrounded by all of those instruments in true Swiss Beats fashion. If y'all can send that to me, I would super appreciate it. Or send it to @CRS Podcast. That would be dope. I'm looking. I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good too. So thank you, everybody. This has been a long, not too long, but a longish episode of CRS. We had a lot to catch up on. As always, use the hashtag #ClackRadioSpeakers. Let us know what you think. And I don't know if we'll be back next week. We got to see if there's enough to talk about. But
I mean, we're still catching up. We named three projects.
Armand, you got anything aside from Exhibit CO? You got anything else you need to plug?
Not right now.
Okay.